the market square. So many mothers sighing. News had just come over. We had 5 years left crying. News guy wept and told us.
You're listening to the Beer Coasters Podcast, the number one self-absorbed beer show from coast to coast and every once in a while in between.
Hey, I'm Dylan, brewer at Cape Ann Brewery, and you're listening to the Beer Coasters.
My name is Charles Finkel, and I'm the founder and the president of the Pike Brewing Company here in Seattle. I'm glad to be on the Beer Coasters.
Blah, 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 I'm off a beer, damn it!
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast, an entirely self-absorbed beer show devoted to bringing you the best and worst in mostly American craft beer from coast to coast and every once in a while in between. I'm your host this week. I'm Crazy Dave from Temecula, California, and with me is...
This is Toby in Las Vegas, Nevada.
And this is Mike from Boston, Massachusetts.
All right. Well, welcome, guys. Welcome, listeners and viewers and all the folks out there in the interwebs. This is episode number 260, and it is the final episode of season 5. So,
wow.
Yeah.
It's season finale.
Closing out 5 years of... of doing this stuff.
Don't worry, we'll be back next week.
Yeah.
There's no hiatus, there's no summer hiatus, and we'll be back in the fall. No. We'll be back next week drinking more beer.
I'm feeding you a whole another line of bullshit, so.
Except that it'll be three different guys. You know,
we're going to start switching out. Cast.
It's like a whole new cast of characters.
We're going to have Dr. Tooth and
nice.
Animal.
Nice. What's the dude that plays the guitar that looks like Dirty Dan's from San Diego?
Mike would probably know.
Which one is that? No, I'm thinking of
the wrong guy with
now.
The guy with like the big blonde beard and the big red nose and the glasses.
Yeah,
plays guitar.
Yeah,
I'm thinking Zoot, but that's the saxophone player.
Yeah,
I can't think of his name right now. Maybe it'll come to me. I'll just blurt it out like while we're drinking beer or something.
Well, we can't think about. Yeah, speaking of which, we are going to be drinking something tonight. We are drinking a Goose Lambic beer, Cuvée René from Lindeman's.
Yeah, Goose. Oh, yeah.
Gertz is Goza.
No, Goose. Not the Goza. That's different. The Goza is the beer we've done previous show. This is the Goza, which is a different kind of beer altogether.
Okay. Well, we got a couple of the beers that we're going to be drinking tonight, too, so... What do you got, Toby? What else you got?
Well, you and me are going to both drink the Ruse from the brewery.
Cool. That means another freaking two Belgian beers to finish the damn season off.
We'll see how Southern California handles this interesting style of beer.
Yeah.
It's not very popular. Mm.
So, I'm going to try the, for my tasting flight later on in the show, I'm going to try the Timmermans Old Goose. And this is a limited edition. This is different from their regular Old Goose. Yes, this is a
new
blend.
Old Goose.
But I'll talk more about it in my tasting flight.
All right. Cool. Well, let's get into this beer then. You know.
Hey, Mike, does my mic sound okay or is it scratchy?
It sounds fine.
Okay.
This is
fancy. There's some foil happening.
We got foil. We got cap.
Oh crap! There's a cork. Damn it! There's a cork in mine too, underneath the cap. Like, who does that? Who caps and corks?
Lindeman's apparently.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh yeah. I'm like expecting a pop from the cap.
Yeah, we get a cork.
But I got one more. One more.
And now time for craft beer jargon. For this week's beer jargon, the term is goose, a traditional blend of young and old Belgian lambics, aged for 2 to 3 years to produce a proper fruit-like and rather quite dry, more intense style lambic. There's absolutely no hop character. Some are filtered and force carbonated, if not pasteurized as well. Some say that this is the bolder lambic, due to the intensity of the sourness.
Sniffing the cork here.
Sniffing the cork.
Should we speak of the proper glassware?
Well, I'm using almost like a Belgian fluted, but it's very narrow. So that's the one I'm using.
I guess I should stick my cork in my my craft beer hound.
Yeah.
I suppose you could do that with corks, beer corks. I think that's legal.
Put that in a bottle cap thing.
I don't think that voids your warranty.
All right. Let's pour
as long as they're not wine corks, I'm sure it's okay.
So, we got some info on this one, or what?
Well, their website's www.lindemans.be, like boy echo. It doesn't say much about it, except that Engifeje uver on in ritual vor echte kirners. Serve at 2 to 3 degrees Celsius.
I know
Resident,
that's wrong.
Language butcher.
I don't know what he said, but that was wrong.
Proof de ex smak van kuvi runi grand cru. Ginnit van den hurinijnergen.
Even in a different language, Dave will rattle off the marketing speak. It doesn't matter. He's just going to rattle it off no matter what language it's in.
So it pours
out. It does say that it is bottle conditioned and that it's beer. And that it's a Guza Lambic artisanal.
And it has spontaneous gisting, so...
Sometimes I spontaneously jizz, but... It proves a bottle with age.
No.
It's re-fermented in the bottle.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
So, I don't know if I want to drink spontaneous jizzing. Wow, it smells tart.
Yeah, the color is a very golden...
It looks the gold actually is exactly the gold of its website. So if you go to the website, look at the gold. That's like the color of the beer.
Now, am I thinking of a different style that they would add, like fruit flavored type syrups with this style, or is that something else?
Syrup.
That's the Berliner Weiss.
Oh, okay.
That they would add a syrup to it.
I prefer syrup.
But yeah, it does. It smells sour. It smells tart.
Making my mouth water just smelling it.
I know. Wow.
Interesting. Yeah, all just kinds has of that... sour, funky, sour esters.
Almost Band-Aid-y.
Oh, really? I'm not getting
a little bit. A little Band-Aid-y. Bit. A little bit of Band-Aid. I
just
guess.
A hint.
A little damp, damp woodiness.
Taking a sip, yeah!
Oh. Oh. That's Tart Band-Aid Belgium.
Ooh. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Guess what? I found the English version of the market speak.
Super clean go. And...
It's... Ooh. Right, it's sour, but it's clean. Because that sour, like, hits you. And then...
It turns into a... Like a sweet tart. Yeah, like the sweet tarts. Tart. Candy, and then it goes away. Whoosh.
Cleans up pretty quick.
Yeah.
Wow.
I actually feel like this should be blended with something.
Oh, but that is delicious.
I wouldn't go as far as to call it delicious.
Yeah.
If you like sours, it's kind of got that textbooky kind of sourness, you know?
This is a very good, warm weather type beer. It's super refreshing.
I keep drinking it. I keep taking sips.
I don't want to. I mean, I've stopped for a second because, I don't want to down it so fast. But.
It sounds odd. I'm not a big fan of the. Probably shouldn't even mention this because I'll probably piss people off. But I'm not a big fan of the shandy. But to me, like something like this, would be a perfect alternative to something like that.
Yeah.
Where if you want a a sour beer, some kind of a citric sour in your beer, then this is kind of a nice alternative to a shandy.
Yeah, it has that. It's almost like a raspberry tart, but not like a super sweet raspberry juice type thing. But it just has the tartness that you would get.
Yeah.
From a raspberry or something like
that. Or like a wild cherry, sour cherry. It's got that. It definitely has a fruit sourness without having any fruit flavor, really.
But it tastes natural. Like a lemon. It doesn't taste like it's some sort of fake sour additive, you know, or something like that. But
it's not like citric acid, you know.
Right.
Or, not that that's fake. All right, come on. I know.
Yeah.
I know that citric acid is not fake. Don't. I don't need any hate letters or hate comments.
Mike, jeez.
I don't need the citrus organization to come get me.
You know what I do like though is at the
National Citrus Foundation. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Sunkist is gonna come take you down, dude.
There you go.
You know what I like though is that the tartness goes away pretty quick. It's not the kind of tart that keeps like you know, it cleans up, it walks away, and it's like, okay, fine. I smacked you once, and I'm just gonna like just go.
To me, it's interesting that you can get something like this. That's as sour as this is, it'd still be thirst quenching.
Yeah.
You know? Because normally you get, there's certain things that have that sourness, like, some lemonades and whatnot, or orange juice or any of that. I mean, any kind of citrus type beverage isn't usually that refreshing to me. But this has kind of a sourness. And it's still refreshing.
I think it's because it cleans up so quickly in the end. Because, you know, when you're drinking lemonade, you get that real sticky, sugary whatever that kind of hangs out afterwards on your tongue. And it's, you know, but with this, it just washes away so quickly that you're ready for another sip. And
it's but it leaves just... you with a little bit of dirtiness. It makes you want to drink some more.
Yeah, it's got a real kind of mild funk. You know, there's nothing that's too...
It's like a clean shaven Saison and he stank.
I mean, yeah, there is a little bit of that barnyard funk in there, but it's very, very little. You know, it's just enough to remind you that you're drinking something that's Belgian or, you know, something like that. Some sort of lambic type beer.
Food pairings.
Something that popped in my head was little like fried chicken bites. Almost like the ones you get from Chick-fil-A with some sort of a spicy mustard or something like that.
Okay.
But I'm thinking some sort of like fried chicken bites. Not like thinking,
I was thinking something more in line of fish.
Yeah. Shellfish, I think, might be good too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think dessert would be okay with this. I want... maybe not dessert, but I kind of want fruit to go with it. Like, I want a fruit flavor that would complement this. Like, I feel like this should have some kind of, like, lean towards something. Now, whether I maybe have fresh raspberries with something like this, or like a raspberry cheesecake or something like that, possibly. I don't know.
No,
I'm not sure how the creaminess would play off something like this.
Would probably work. Ooh, you know what might work? What might work is the is something like clam chowder or something, where it has where it's got some creaminess and some fishiness and stuff. I see where you're going with the creaminess, but I don't think cheesecake is it. I think something like the Petrus, beers, those sours would probably go really good with cheesecake. Especially the Petrus Red, but this isn't. It's not that fruity though. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying. The beer's not fruity, but I kind of feel like it needs some kind of fruit flavor to go with it. And I'm just thinking raspberries, just because I feel like with the lambics and stuff.
I might have some blueberries in the fridge.
Yeah,
I don't have raspberries though. I have some strawberries. That's probably not the fruit you're looking for.
No.
Is it not the fruit you're looking for?
Yes. But yeah. Anyway, There you go.
Top three locations to drink this. From Untappd says it's Max and Joe's Belgian Tavern in Omaha, Nebraska. Sierra Lakes Beer Garden, Fontana, California. The hell are they drinking this in Fontucky for? And the tap room in Ben E. Keith Company in Dallas, Texas. The Untappd users give this a 3.72 out of 7,121 ratings. I almost dumped my beer again.
Dude, if I'm gonna go, if I'm thinking. I kind of want to pair it with, instead of a dessert. I do want to, as far as some type of food, maybe like a chicken cordon bleu. You know, I think a Swiss, like chicken with Swiss, and maybe the ham or something. That salty ham might go pretty good with something like this.
Or maybe some salmon with Hollandaise sauce wrapped in some sort of like pastry, puff pastry kind of thing.
All right.
I know I've used that before as a pairing.
Mike, you're wrong.
Yeah.
No, yeah, beer, food pairings are never wrong unless you're Toby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much.
So, Toby, you're still wrong. All right, folks. Well, like I said, you can check them out, www.lindemans.be, as in Belgium. This was the Cuvée René. It's a Goose Lambic Beer, or however you might say it in whatever language you might read the label on. Because there's like five different languages on this label. So they're truly an international beer.
Gemini Lounge. A chill new cocktail bar in Portland, Oregon. A gourmet bar food haven with creative cocktails, happy hour specials, drink specials, and great local beers on tap. Don't forget to go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Gemini Lounge logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. Gemini Lounge is committed to supporting local and eco-friendly options. Local handmade and vintage art on the walls, and even 75% of the building materials were purchased from locally owned businesses. Located at 6526 Southeast Foster Road, Portland, Oregon. Great tunes, good vibes, it's Gemini Lounge.
Beer drinkers of the world, it's now time to check the headlines of the Beer Coasters Daily.
This is normally the place where we would do our hot topic, but instead of our hot topic, we're going to do our top beers of the year award here. So each one of us, what we're doing is we're going to kind of go off and rattle off what our top our five pinted rated beers that we drank over the course of the last season. We did have a couple of special guests on the show that did rate a couple of beers five pinters, so I'm going to start out with them. If you guys remember, there was a big guy named Chris with a beard, and he was originally on this podcast like years ago, and he came back and visited us for a few episodes. He drank the Ballast Point Sea Monster from our Pacific Rim World Tour San Diego episode, and that was a five pinter. Another bearded friend of ours was Big Gay Scott, and he drank the Founders Rubeus from our Resistance's Fruit Tale show. He gave that a five pinter. And Greg from the OC beer blog, drank his own beer from the beer camp, Sleight of Hand. And without a doubt, he rated that beer a five as well. So
his own beer a five.
Yeah. So of all the special guests that we've had this year, those were the only ones that busted up the five for some beers. So
I just wanted to say one thing in Greg's defense, though. If he can't rate his own beer a five, then how could anybody else possibly do it, right?
True. True.
So I'm giving
it
him
better
a pass.
Be a five. I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah. So, Mike, what are your five pinters for the year?
Speaking of which, I don't know if that one is up there.
Yeah, it
I
is. Did.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah, I'll give you my five pinters for year five of the Beer Coasters Vod podcast. The first one. The collaboration between McKellar and BrewDog, and it's their Divine Rebel. And that was episode 211, our Star Wars show. Next was the Lost Abbey Red Poppy, episode 220, our Mother Pucker show. And the Sleight of Hand on episode 224, the Beer Camp episode.
Oh, see, Greg.
The next one was Hebrew and their St. Lenny, episode 232, in our All Saints Day show. The next one was Dogfish Head, 75-minute episode 236, Jive Turkey episode. The next one, Slum Brew, Yankee Swap. I do remember that one. That was the one that stood out last year. That was episode 236, also on the Jive Turkey episode. The next was Yazoo Brewing Company, and that was a beer named Sue. How do you do? Episode 249, Folsom Prison. And last but not least is the Het Anka Golden Carolus, an episode 256, our Easter beers.
What about you, Toby? What do you got?
Well, I didn't give nearly as many as you guys did. I don't know what my deal was.
Toby just hates beer, dude. That's what it is.
Yeah, I just don't like it.
Well, what was your attendance record last year?
Yeah, I missed a few shows last year, but, you know, I think I missed three, maybe. Two, maybe three shows. Let's see. From episode 219, Resistance is Fruit Ale, the Epic Brewing's Sour Apple Saison. Very, very good.
Sounds good.
The Brooklyn Local One from episode 232, the Numb Beers Part 2 show. And then also from the Jive Turkey show, 236, it was the Epic Brewing's Imperial Pumpkin Porter. And then from New Beers Eve, episode 241, the Iron Fire Brewing's Six Killer Stout, which I do remember being very, very good.
Cool.
Also, well, from episode 252, Pintlandia, it was the Upright Brewing's Seven.
We put birds on things.
And then the last one of my fivers, not including the runner-up and the winner, the Lost Abbey's Red Barn Ale that I just had a couple of weeks ago, episode 258, Mayhem Week 1.
Cool. So. You know, I was apparently a little more liberal with my five pinters.
Dave had an awakening this past year, and he is really...
You know what? When you look at this, though, I'm seeing a pattern with all my five pinter beers.
You're gonna see what that is very soon.
There's a very significant pattern. Episode 212, 16 canned ales is a Young's Double Chocolate Stout. The Pacific Rim episode 217, the Stone Ruin 10. McKellar's Beer Geek Brunch Calvados from 218 Beer Geekery. Dogfish Black and Blue, Resistance's Fruit Ale. Dogfish Head Festina Pesci from our Berliner Weiss 226. Angry Orchard Strawman, Whose Side Are You On? Gotta Fight. That was an absolutely epic beer. I mean, really good.
It was kind of champagne-y, right?
Yeah, but it's all
the cider. So.
It was cider. Yeah, it was awesome.
But it had like a very kind of champagne-y kind of effervescence to it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Baltica 6 Porter.
Baltica.
The Baltica 6. From our Num Beers 2 episode. The Des Moines Kopi Luwak from our Weasel show. Cascades Apricot Sour from our Pintlandia show, which was another just epically awesome beer. Beer. Couple episodes ago from our Earth Day episode, Cigar City and Coronado's collaboration, Hurrata. Dogfish 61 from our Mayhem show last week, or 2 weeks ago. And our Mayhem 2 show was the Shake Chocolate Porter.
Damn, so you can roll.
Yeah, you can see there's it's either fruit beers
or chocolate or
porters and chocolate. With, for some reason, a ruination to a
ruin. If they ever come up with a raspberry porter or something, we're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
Like, I have to give this more than 5 pints.
It's got a sweet tooth. That's what it is.
Yeah. So, but we did have one beer that we all had in common that rated a 5. And I will get to that. I'll get to that when we do the runner-up. Runner-up was one that two of us had. And that was actually Toby and Mike. I didn't have it. Otherwise, I'm pretty sure I probably would have rated it close to what they did. But they both had the Great Divide Oatmeal Yeti on the very Yeti Christmas episode. So they both rated
Dave,
that.
I think if the chocolate Yeti, you would have given a 5. And then if there was a raspberry Yeti, you would have given it a 5 as well.
Yeah. So,
raspberry Yeti. You hear that, Great Divide? Work on it.
That's right.
The raspberry Yeti.
And then the one beer that all of us had that we all rated a 5 was Ale Smith's Speedway Stout with Kopi Luwak.
Yeah. Talk about your coffee stouts.
That but, was episode 243, the Weasel
Unintended.
Yeah, I mean that's Speedway Stout on its own is probably one of the best beers out, you know, out there.
Yeah, I probably would have gave Speedway on its own, according to what year it was, I would probably give it a 5. Most of them I would probably give 5s. They tend to change from year to year, but adding the Kopi Luwak in that, and I love the Ryan Brothers coffee one, but the Kopi Luwak,
just good stuff.
Good stuff. Good. Best coffee flavor I've ever had in a beer.
Yeah. So please do us a favor. Tell us what you think should have been 5 pioneers that we didn't have on here.
What did we miss? Remember, what did we miss this year? Something that we've done on the show. Because there's probably plenty of 5 pioneers out there that should have been 5 pioneers that we haven't done this season. But maybe we'll get to them next season.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations to Ale Smith.
Yeah.
Your Speedway Stout with Kopi Luwak.
Yeah.
And all of our other beers that made the 5 pioneers. I mean, these are all pretty damn good beers, folks.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, we see Dogfish all over the place on this thing.
And if you were taking notes, you know, either go back and listen to those shows or seek those beers out and see for yourself, you know, if they're 5 pioneers to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 5 pioneers to me.
Yeah,
man.
What's interesting I think you'll get a sense of what we like, you know, like each individually, because you see that, you know, we definitely rated a very different beers 5 pioneers. So if you kind of get a sense, we already know definitely that Dave, we got him with fruit and chocolate porters there. But it's interesting to see. I'm actually surprised to see my list. And honestly, some I don't really remember, and then others I remember, you know, like it was last week that we did it, you know. So
you need to be like me and not give so many out, then you remember all of them. You're like, oh, yeah, I remember all these. I only had 8.
Toby, I have not had a single one of your beers.
Really?
Nope.
Well, you should check out that 6 Killer. You might like it.
10. So I gave 10. How many did you give, Toby? Come on, you can't be that.
Like 6 or 7?
8.
8.
All right, yeah. So I'm not too bad.
I think about like 12.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. Out of 52 shows, or 50, I should say 51 shows, because this is our 52nd. But out of 51 shows, I only gave 8 5 pioneers. Oh, man, that's...
But there, we...
I don't like that.
There's probably a whole heck of a lot of 4.5 pioneers, which is not perfect, but still awesome.
I was going to say that. I'm pretty sure I gave out a ton of 4.5s, or at least a ton of 4s. I didn't give out too many, like, 3s or under.
Yeah, but seriously, though, these beers they seriously gave me a hard-on. They really did. They were just worlds above everything else that I drank throughout.
Dave was Craftus Erectus.
Fully.
I would like to pose a question to each of you guys, if I can. We have time to do this. Yes.
Yes, we have time.
Is there any beer that's not on this list that you remember this season that stuck out maybe surprised not to see it on the list, or something that just stuck out this year to you?
I remember some ones that stuck out that really freaking sucked.
Okay, well, that's something.
Luchador and Fuego.
Okay.
Totally undrinkable.
For our friends at Clown Shoes, yes.
Yeah. Didn't really talk about it because I didn't drink it on the show, but we drank it at the barbecue. The Chocolat from Southern Tier, which Mike had, which I'm surprised didn't make the top. Didn't get a 5. I definitely thought that was pretty epic of a beer.
How about you, Toby?
Trying to think. I mean, I
got to be some stuff that stuck out on the show. Got to remember.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe one of the Enjoy Buys. Like the
Enjoy Buys were rated pretty high. I mean, we also had the Two Girls One Beer on the show, and you know they were floating at 4 to 4.5. So.
Well, you know, I could cheat and look at my Untappd and see if I could go by.
That's what I'm doing.
By ratings.
I remember from our Porter episode where we didn't really have ratings because we did a tournament style thing, and you know, and I think, oh man, who won that? That was it Drake's?
Oh wait a minute, why isn't that on?
Yeah, it was Drake's. Well, that's because we didn't give it a 5-pint rating. It was just the winner of the Porter challenge.
I think that deserves something if we all thought that was the best of that many porters.
Yeah, that and...
I think that deserves another award. I think we need the Porter Award or something.
Yeah. Well, so I remember that, but also Vanilla's Porter and Tanilla Porter really stood out too.
But the Tanilla was the vanilla one that wasn't very vanilla-y, right? It was just a good porter, but it didn't taste like vanilla.
Right. But the Vanilla's Porter was just awesome. From Lab 233.
Well, we did just have the Doobie from Uinta, and I remember really, really liking that one.
I remember not.
Yeah, I didn't rate it on Untappd because any time I do a beer on the show, I don't rate it on Untappd. That one I think really stood out for me because I was pretty impressed by it. And the Jalapeno Imperial IPA from Alaskan. I remember really liking that one, too. Those are a couple just in the recent, you know, recent past that I've had that I've really enjoyed.
And the Everweiss from Berliner, from Night Shift. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, at the Beer Bloggers Conference.
Beer Bloggers Conference, man. That stood out.
Yep, that one stuck out.
Oh, well, yeah, if we're going to talk about that kind of stuff outside of the podcast.
Well, yeah, I was... Yeah, I'm sure there's some notable ones at festivals and whatnot.
Yeah, at the FERC Fest, I mean, I know there was a couple there that I was just blown away by. I was just, wow, these are awesome.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's some crazy... that's kind of some crazy blends, you know, with that stuff, with the cast when they're blending all kinds of different things with that, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd have to say the Ex-Umbra, you know, outside the show, the Hess Brewing's Ex-Umbras was a favorite, you know, recently this year. I would say this year, you know. Although I say this year, but it was probably last year. But I mean, just mean this season of the show.
Right.
You know, that was, I want to say it was like a little rye stout or an oatmeal stout with rye or something. I can't even remember now, but I just remember it being really good.
Well, there you go, folks. Those are some good beers to go look out for and go try and drink and tell us about it. Untap it. Tweet it. Drunk dial us about
it. Drunk dial us.
Whatever.
If you find something you really like.
Or if you just get really f***ed up and you think that you really like us, you can call us and drunk dial us too.
Aces and Ales, Las Vegas's premier craft beer destination. With 22 beers on tap and over 80 rare bottles, you can even get growler fills. Go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Aces and Ales logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. That's Aces and Ales, now with 2 locations. Visit acesandales.com for more information. All killer, no filler. Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
Hello, this is Mike from Boston.
Hey, Mike.
And from my tasting flight on this wonderful season 5 finale, I'm going to be trying the Timmermans Old Goozer Limited Edition.
Is that like Scott Tenenman from like the South Park?
No. This is Tenenman like from John Martin. It's the John
Martin Timmermans.
Timmermans Brewery.
So it's not Scott Tenenman Must Die.
No.
And you're not gonna like cut them up and feed them to his parents.
Definitely not. This is the limited edition version. This is a little bit different than the regular version. This is actually aged. So this is in limited production, and what they do is they. This is a blend of lambics, but they actually age it in oak casks for several years, and then nothing. Then they bottle it. Sorry. I thought there was more to it, but
nothing.
I guess that's it. Yeah, they blend it and put it in oak casks. So what they do is they use the younger lambic for, you know, to help with the maturity, not the maturity, but the fermentation and whatnot. Okay, I'm gonna crack this. The ABV on this is 5.5, I think. Hard to get information on the differences between the old limited edition one and the regular one. But I think it's 5.5. There we go.
Boom.
Spontaneous fermentation. I'm going to pour it. I guess I should show you the label here and see what this looks like. And this is the 2013. And this was brewed and bottled about a year ago.
And it looks familiar.
It was actually
before.
Bottled on my birthday last year.
Oh, look at that!
Yeah,
a little special little
Haberday
tidbit of information there for you. Ooh, looks very carbonated.
How do you not have a bigger head on it, then, if it's carbonated?
It's kind of hard to explain. I don't know. There's a whole hell of a lot. I poured pretty gingerly, but it's dissipating really quick, too. Mm. It's like, you know, ginger ale, kind of soda.
Yeah.
Effervescent. Fizziness. It's yellow. It's actually lighter on the bottom than it is on top. It's cloudy as hell. On the nose. Ooh. Funky orange. I'm trying to get something else out of it for you. Maybe some orange and like a sour apple.
Hmm. Like a fruit basket? Some bananas
There's a tiny bit of straw-like aroma in there. But smelling this, I know this is going to be really sour as well. I got to take a sip. It's like my smelling this, like I get right in the you know, right back in my jaw, starting to water. The sourness.
Michael did the crazy day freak out.
It's always that first sip.
Wow. This seems like I have a little left of
the Lindeman.
The Lindeman, so I have to take a sip just to see. Wow. This is so mellow now. The sourness is nothing compared to the sourness of this.
the strength of the tartness is big. And then it has kind of a powdery, I don't know, there's like a powdery something on the tongue that you, Toby, you were talking about earlier in our fermentation conversation of the sweet tart. Well, I'm actually getting that powdery texture of that sweet tart as well.
Like Fun Dip?
Yeah, kind of like Fun Dip, yeah. Minus the vanilla stick. Wow. It's got a mouth-watering, like, pucker of a taste to it. It's tart. It's very acidic.
You're making my mouth water just talking about it, dude.
Wow, is this tart. But I don't know. I mean, I guess this is the way these beers are supposed to be, right? I mean, they're supposed to be,
like,
sour as hell.
What did it say on the bottle? Lactobacillus or something?
Well,
at the bottom of the bottle?
The bottom?
On the front label, there's something at the bottom.
Oh, that's one thing I was going to mention, that they are actually the oldest lambic brewery.
Oh, it says lambic beer. That's right.
Yeah. This is Lambicus.
Oh, Lambicus. That's what it was. Yeah.
But then it says the oldest lambic brewery.
Wow.
This is part of the Belgian family of brewers. So, yeah, no American craft beer on American Craft Beer Week for me, I guess. But man, you know, beyond the tart, there's a lot of carbonation in here to kind of dissipate that tartness. But it's just, if this was a bigger beer, if this was a higher alcohol with less carbonation, I mean, I just can't imagine what that would do on your tongue. That would just kind of, that tartness would just kind of sit there. There's a slight damp woodiness once you get past that sour. What am I going to pair with this one? I want something buttery. Like a good homemade fried chicken, to be honest. I just think that, like, a good buttery, crunchy fried chicken type batter would go really well. That salty, buttery flavor, I think, would be very, very good with this.
Nice.
Cool. I don't know how the Belgians feel about me pairing it with fried chicken.
Fried chicken.
But, hey, this is America.
Well, they pair their fried chicken with their waffles, so, you know.
And I paired mine with some.
That's true.
Fried chicken we do bites.
We pair chicken with their Belgian waffles. So that's true. Why not their beer? They're probably wondering what's up with this chicken. I have to go to America and try their fried chicken. Goes with all our food and our beer. That's great. So yeah, I don't know what else to say about this.
Speaking of which. Spy just did a bicycle race last weekend, and who was it? And someone made a Belgian beer to go with that. Man,
with the race?
Yeah.
Who was it?
Oh my God! It was the Spy Belgian Waffle Ride. It was last weekend, and it was. My cousin was in that race, and a guy from work went.
Okay, while you're looking for that, I can give some ratings here. All right, so, hey, Belgian Holiday, level two. Untappd rates this a 3.8 out of 182 ratings. The top places to drink this beer is the M&L Ale House in Aurora, Illinois. The Tiswart shop in Levant, I don't know how to pronounce it, but Levant, it looks like it's in France. Levant? I don't know.
Levant?
And the Duval Cafe, an international. I hate that cuts off.
Yeah, you gotta click it to see where it goes. Well, the beer was from Lost Abbey.
It's a beer garden in Stockholm. Hey, shout out to Mount Parter.
Yeah, there you go.
from Sweden. The beer, by the way, was a Lost Abbey Belgian Waffle Ride Badass Ale. So
nice. I should have just paired the beer with chicken and waffles and it would have been all done.
Yep.
That's it. Chicken and waffles. Peace. I'm out. Beer Coasters out.
There you are, folks.
Beer Coasters East. Done. Signing off. See you next year. Season.
You know, drinking beer and being social is a big part of what we do here at the Beer Coasters Podcast. So we'd invite you to join us at any number of our internet social websites. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, Untappd, Google+, and even Pinterest. That's right. Cheers.
This is a fermentation conversation. Yeah.
Yo, yo, yo.
What up, dog?
Me and Dave are drinking the same beer this week, so
same
it's like a joint
beer. Joint effort.
Joint tasting flight slash second fermentation conversation, except
yeah,
for poor little Mike.
Mike didn't get it.
So we are drinking the
Another
Ruse.
Mike fail.
The Ruse from the brewery out of Orange County, California.
It's all a ruse.
The website's www.brewery.com.
This is an unfiltered bottle conditioned goose. Sour blonde ale aged in oak barrels. Dave, if you want to read the jargon on the website, if you
ruse
got that
is up. Our take on the traditional Belgian style blend of lambics of different ages. We carefully select the number of oak barrels from our warehouse that have been aging our sour blonde ale for various lengths of time and blend them to what we think is the ideal flavor. This is one complex beer. Notes of hay, barnyard funk, apricots, and even olives play wonderfully with the balanced acidity. ABV is 5.9% for volume, and the release time in this is the winter.
And it says that you could age this for up to 5 years if cellared properly.
So we've aged about 5 months. So.
Well, this came out in... mine is from August of 2013. Yeah, August 26, 2013. It's a stamp on the bottle on the back, right above the label. 2013 edition. So, I don't know. Are they going to come out with more?
Oh, yeah. Mine's also August 2013. It just took me a little bit of getting the right angle on the glass. Well, this pours out like a fizzy yellow beer. It's got a goldish light color to it. Lots of carbonation.
Yeah, it's a little lighter than the Lindemann's. A little bit.
Tons
oh no, about the same. It seems clearer though than the Lindemann's.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let me see here. I got the two side by side. Yeah, it's actually darker than the Lindemann's.
Look, I guess it's more. It looks more like an apple juice type.
Yeah, totally looks like apple juice.
And I started off with about a half finger. Now I'm just down to
it's going away.
Quarter finger or something.
It smells tart.
Oh yeah.
It smells almost like a champagne or a wine. It's got a little bit of sourness to it.
Like a sour white grape.
Mm-hmm.
I'm even kind of getting a little bit of a sweet... Gosh, I'm salivating already. I'm getting like there's this sweet something in the background.
It's like a sweet apple or something.
Yeah.
Take a sip, yeah!
Whoa! Damn!
Whew!
I
was getting all of it before I even swallowed it. Before I even finished the sip, it was just filling my mouth with.
Do you have
tartness.
Any of the Cuvée Renée left?
Yeah.
I drank
you should take
all
a sip
mine.
And actually taste how mellow it tastes now.
Yeah, Cuvée Renée is nothing compared to.
And think of when we first took a sip of that. We're like, sour.
Whoa. I mean, the ruse is just like, damn.
Yeah, back on the nose, I'm getting some, a little bit of that kind of farmhouse, kind of a little bit of that barnyard stank.
I get some sort of like green apple. I get a lot of green apple with this.
Whoa. Way in the aftertaste, it's kind of doughy.
Yeah, you definitely like
a,
get a lot
like
of...
like a yeasty dough.
You definitely get a lot of the oak in this, too. You can, it's pretty... it's, the oak's a little heavy on it.
There's a little bit of a spice, too.
It adds a, it adds like some weight to it, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, the, usually these tart, lighter beers are, you know, kind of lighter, but the oak is definitely giving it some body.
Yeah, there's that... and it's sweet tart,
and it's neat. It's neat because that, like I said, the oak flavor, the tartness, the apple thing. I mean, it's all very individual, distinct flavors, yeah. And you know, like they're right. I mean, this does have quite a bit of complexity.
Yeah, I keep wanting to go back and see if I can find something else.
There's something oily too about it. Like, you know what I mean?
Not the mouthfeel,
just like the flavor. Like,
I mean, it's less. The aftertaste hangs out a lot more than the Lindemans. The Lindemans, it seemed to just wash away and be gone. Now I'm even getting something in the throat, like a spicy burn kind of in the throat. Are you getting that at all? Or maybe it's because I choked a little bit and coughed.
I do, but I think... they say that they have even olives, and I get more of an olive oil flavor than I do an olive
Yeah,
flavor.
I can see that, yeah. Like those Italian... olives with the spices in it, you know, mm-hmm. Like maybe some oregano or something like that. But I'm not getting any kind of oregano or basil or anything like that. But I can kind of see how there's this interesting kind of spice in there.
Mm-hmm. Herby thing?
Yeah, herby kind of, yeah.
Mm. Oh. This, I think, would go good with, like, some sort of a creamy cheese. Like a goat, maybe like a goat-style cheese. I could just see that. Like, you get the goat cheese and, like, they'll roll it, like, in dill and some other stuff.
Yeah.
I think this would go great with that. Or this would probably even go good with, like, a tabbouleh salad, I think. Tabbouleh? I don't know. It's like you get it at, like, a kebab shop kind of a thing. Tabouli. Tabbouleh salad. Tabbouleh salad with goat cheese. Goat cheese.
Cool. For my pairing, gosh, I don't know. I think something like a salad, I think, would work. And yeah, I think you're right, Dave. I think some sort of a cheese, a creamy cheese, something that's not too pungent, but yeah, something like that.
The tabbouleh salad, because it's got some of those things. It's got like cilantro, it's got like mint, it's got, you know, maybe parsley or something, and then, you know, then some olives, and a lot of these flavors just seem to really just, like, would... And there's a lot of different flavors, and I think the complexities on these would just really play well with each other.
Yeah, Dave, looking at the picture of this, I'm like, yeah, I think you nailed it. I think that this would work really well. Yeah, that's good. I'll join you on that.
All right, Toby, you can't be wrong here. I'm sorry. I would love to say that you are, but since you're agreeing with me.
Yep, see, you can't get me now. Well, there you go, everybody. That's the ruse from the brewery.
Let's look at their Untappd.
Placentia, California.
It looks like here. Untappd ratings come in at a 4.16 out of 7,446 ratings. Top three places to drink this are the Brewery Sucrevassery. That's a festival. Actually, you know who's at the Sucrevestry celebration, I think? I saw OC Greg post something about that today on the OC Beer blog.
Huh.
On Facebook. I gotta go look it up.
The next two locations is Chuck's Hop Shop in Seattle, Washington, and
at the Hop
Birch
Shop
in Norfolk, Virginia.
Yeah, OC Greg had a post on Facebook today about the Sucreversary. Sucreverse. So maybe the Sucreverse is different than the Sucreversary celebration, but I don't know. There's a brewery Sucreversary celebration. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just blowing it out my ass again, folks. So
shout out to OC Greg.
Yeah, I mean, he's from the OC, and, you know, brewery's from the OC, so I'm sure there's some sort of connection to all of this.
Yeah, I mean, it's somehow going to link up, Dave. Don't worry about it. It's cool.
If not, we're just giving this guy some free shout-outs, so.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Free shout-outs. There you go. You're welcome.
Hashtag free shout-outs.
The True Adam says, "Also, I drove a golf cart with beer goggles on today and hit every cone. The proctor almost died when I asked where the nitrous was."
Alright, everybody, last call.
I won Dave that, did. Bitch.
Dave started much earlier.
All right, everybody, this is our last call of season 5. This is the last time you're going to hear our pint ratings until next week when we come back with season 6.
Until next week. Yeah. And next season.
Mike!
Yes?
See what you got to say.
Already? See what I
got
to say.
Yeah, Mike, what you got, sucker?
See what I
got
to say. Okay, this is a tough one because I would have given this beer a different rating had I not had the other beer right after it. For the Lindemann's Cuvée René, surprising to see such a, you know, a tart beer be as refreshing as it was. I really enjoyed it. I don't think I've had the style before. This may be my first time experiencing the Guza style. So I'm gonna give it a 3.5. I really enjoyed it. I just kinda wish it had some kind of other flavor to go with it, but I think pairing it with food, then you're gonna get the flavors that you want to pull out of, you know. I don't think you need it in the beer. You can use it, very good beer to go with food. And being kind of an unflavored lambic, it wants to be paired with something, I think. Yeah. For the
apricots.
Yeah, that wouldn't be bad.
I had apricots.
For the Timmermans Old Aguza, limited edition. This is from the world's oldest lambic brewery. Holy tartness. This was
holy
the,
tartness, Batman.
Yeah, Lambicus Maximus here. It was very tart, but after you got past that sweet tart, there was some little kind of damp woodiness in there that kind of added some complexity. I think if the tartness was toned down a little bit, you can actually get a little bit more of that complexity out of it that I assumed that they were going for with the blends and then, you know, aging it in the oak barrels. But I'm going to rate this a bit higher just because I think it's a little fuller and bigger. So I'm going to give this a 4. This too, of course, I think both of these beers would shine with food. There you have it, folks.
Cool.
Them's me ratings.
How about you, Toby?
Well, for my Cuvée René, I think I liked it a little bit more than Mike. I the thing about this style or this kind of beer is I really like it while I'm having it, but it's nothing that I would, you know, seek out all the time. It's nothing that I would, you know, be like, oh, hey, it's...
Go get this, drink this, you need to try this.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you want to try something different, you like sour beers, you like tarts, you like lambics, you like, you know, all that kind of stuff, this is definitely something you need to try. I think it's delicious, it's refreshing, it's, you know, there's nothing really bad about it, but it's just one of those things that it's nothing I would drink all the time, you know, it's like something I would have on a special occasion or... Right. You know, to share with somebody and say, check out this. This is beer. You know, this is crazy.
It's a barbecue beer.
Yeah, it's something special that you want to share with other people and say, check this out. So I'm going to go 4. I really like it. I'm going to rate the brewery's ruse. I think I'm going to rate it higher because it's just so much. I mean, it's not too much, but it's a lot, and it's... And now that it's starting to kind of warm up a little bit, it's a lot more of the sour apple kind of stuff is coming out. And it's, I don't know, it's just really good. So I'm going to go 4.5. I really like it.
Whoa. Dang. You know, with the Cuvée Renée for me, I mean, I damn near drank the whole bottle. I mean, it's a drinkable sour. It's
very drinkable sour.
Yeah, you know, it's
super,
I mean,
drinkable sour.
You know, it's light enough in the ABV that you could drink a bottle of it. You know, I have a 750, and I damn near drank most of it.
You had the 750. I had the little, I forget what it is. It's a little bottle.
Yeah, no, I didn't have that.
Basically,
so,
boils down to about 12 ounces, I think.
Yeah, no, I had a good 2-3 glasses out of it already. It was real drinkable. I kept wanting to drink it. You know, it's, you know, not the best damn beer in the world, but, you know, it. You know, it's 80-something degrees in my office here, and, you know, it's helping me cool off and, you know, keep hydrated and refreshed, if that doesn't contradict itself.
Hydrating beer, there you go.
That's what they're going to come out with, some of them hydrating beers.
Yeah, I mean, not to be confused with the dehydrated alcohol that you can now get. It went down fairly easy.
What's,
you know,
next? It's wet powder, dry water.
So, you know, I don't know if I'll give it a 4. You know, it's definitely worth a 3.5. You know, like, I'm not gonna go searching out for this beer. I'm not gonna go buy it, you know, to have on every hot day. But it works great for this little heat wave we got going out here on the West Coast right now. So I'll give it a 3.5. The brewery's ruse. Is it ruse or ruse?
It's ruse. It looks like goose.
The brewery ruse. I mean, it's definitely got quite a bit of complexity. There's a lot of different flavors, and I think they did the yolk really well on it. I think, like Mike said, you know, food. You know, this. I think this style probably does well with food.
Yeah, I really wish that I could find this at a restaurant and actually do that. Maybe I'll do that sometime.
I actually got apricots out in the kitchen. I think we'll probably go good with the Cuvée Renée.
Yeah.
You know, even like an apple tart or apricot tart would probably might do well. I think like you said, like, I think you talked to your girlfriend and you say like it needs like a little bit of fruit, like it was missing something. But going back to the ruse, which I was supposed to be talking about anyways, it's got a lot of good flavors, good stuff going on. I don't think I liked it as much as Toby, but I'll give it a 4. I thought it's definitely, you know, worth talking about, and, you know, definitely worth, you know, getting out there. And I would be interested to see this cellar for a few years. I think I would probably like it better, maybe with the tartness coming down a little bit. It is a bit tart. It does pucker your face up quite a bit, and it takes a minute to get used to. So that's what keeps it from getting the 5. So maybe in a couple of years it would get, you know, 4.5 or something. But for now, for what I'm drinking in my office, so 4.
I wonder what in a couple of years how this would be, because, you know, normally with a beer like this, I don't think to age these type beers, but, you know, they have been aged already, you know, and I remember seeing videos of the Beer Hunter when he was traveling through Belgium, and he would go to these old Belgian breweries and stuff, and I remember him talking about the blends, the different blending of the beers, the lambics and stuff like that, and how they were aging them. And it's just something, it's just a type of beer like this that I don't really normally think is something that you would age, but I guess they do, you know? I guess, because I was kind of worried. I had this bottle, and it was bottled in August of last year, and I thought, oh man, we've had it for almost a year, we should probably drink this, but I didn't read the label saying you could store it for up to 5 years. But.
Well, there's our beers for this week, our beers for the year, our beers for the season. We're going to be back next week with some more, more beers, and continue on our month of mayhem and a whole bunch of new episodes and stuff.
Are we going to have anything new, Mike? Is there a new look? Are we for the new season? Is there something we're unveiling? like we usually do every year?
No, I mean, there won't be any huge changes to the website. I mean, there may be some, you know, a few changes here and there. Of course, a new banner this season, you know, getting into the sixth season here. We're hoping to kind of get more guests on for this, you know, the season coming up, for season six. And hopefully get some new and fun things going for, you know, for next season. But no huge changes on the website. And there won't be any big reveals, but I will be working on the website, this next season, and just starting to make changes gradually, and kind of possibly go in a different direction.
Cool. Yeah, people, we don't get paid to do this, so.
Because this is your show, and you aren't paying us.
So we do it in our own time, when we have the time.
And yep. We want to do it.
And, life seems to get in the way of doing the things you want to do.
But somehow we always end up being together here on a Tuesday yep. night drinking beer.
We can meet once a week and we can drink a beer, and that's the important stuff right now.
Yep.
So, yeah, you know, quick shout-outs. Shout-outs, hell yeah. Gino Kenny, he's always untapping us and toasting us and stuff. Mal Porter, I see, is hitting us up too.
Sweet, he did hit us up.
Yeah,
I wonder if he knows. Toasted he gave beer toast from this week.
Yeah.
Cool.
I want to give a shout out to Tony Leone. He congratulated us on 5 full seasons when we were doing our fermentation conversation on YouTube. So cheers, Tony. Maybe we'll have him on the show definitely. In coming, this season, he'll probably show up more often. He's a good guy to have on the show, you know. He's a good contribution.
It's one of the whippersnappers. There's a lot of energy.
Yeah, we need the young, fresh, beer drinkers.
Right, a bunch of crushy old farts
drinking our geezers.
The geezers with the gooses. Alright, I'm going to give a couple shout outs to Midwest Microbrews. Also, I don't know if I gave these guys shout outs last week or not, but I want to give a shout out to Bertucci's, also Celia and Barbara Strange, and Midwest Microbrews. Would I already say that?
Strange.
The Bourbon Blog, which just followed me recently, and I'm really curious to check into that, because there's not a whole heck of a lot of bourbon blogs out there. So. Also, cool. I want to give a shout out to Color Right, and Rate Beer has a new app, and people have been talking about it, so maybe in the new coming weeks we're going to give Rate Beer a second chance here and check out what they have to offer with this new app of theirs.
I don't know, so far we've booted 2 rating agencies for the
we may bring more ratings back into the show. I don't know, to kind of give you a more broader, we're here, we want to be fair and balanced here, so yeah. We might start giving you a broader aspect of what people are rating these beers, even though it's really only our ratings that matter.
That's right.
Also, the Better Beer Authority, gotta give them a shout out as well.
I'll give a shout out to Craft Beer Hound. Check them out, they've got Father's Day coming up. So look for some specials, and we may, in the near future, have a Beer Coasters promo code that you can put in at craftbeerhound.com, maybe, possibly. We're working on that, so that's pretty cool. Yeah, hook up our listeners with some cool Craft Beer Hound swag at
serious
a discount.
Deep discounting.
And I want to give a shout out to Mark Kolb. He hit us up on Facebook, and we haven't heard from him in a long time, but he is back posting his pictures of his
beers and stuff at like 8:45 in the morning.
Yeah.
I just got to work, and I'm like, dude, that fool's already drinking.
Nice. And he mentioned that his daughter is going to college 2 miles from, where did he say, Stone Brewery? No. The Lost Abbey. So she must be going to Oceanside
San Marcos, dude. Yeah, it's probably CSU San Marcos.
So he's pretty stoked about that.
I want to give a shout out to all our listeners that listened to us this past season and previous seasons and are still listening, trying to catch up to the show right now. They're still listening. They could be on season 2 or 3. Or 4. Or
even season 1 with the 2 guys with the beard, one guy with the soul patch.
Sideburns and a soul patch.
Oh man, how we've grown. How far we've come. 5 full years. That's like 37 years in podcast years, right, Mike? Something
in
like
podcast
that.
Years, we've been around a long time.
Especially beer podcast years. There's only a couple that are up there with us, hanging around. You know, New Brew Thursday, and what about Craft Beer Radio? Are those guys still doing a show?
Ooh, I don't know. We have to check.
I haven't checked in on them in a while.
They're one of the first, I think.
Yeah, I mean, a couple years ago, they were already up to 150 some odd shows. So yeah. I'm sure they're way over 300 shows now.
Ooh, I want to give a quick shout out to Ballast Point. This week, they were the city of San Diego resolved to declare May 11th through 17th of 2014 Ballast Point Week in the city of San Diego. So make sure you, all you folks out in San Diego, support Ballast Point, drink their beer, and they got one of my favorite beers out there. So make sure you Victory at Sea, dude, awesome.
Yeah.
We had a few other good beers too. So
that's your 5-pinter, I think, on the show, right? I think everybody's getting that five pints.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I remember bringing that beer to Chris when we drove cross country to Texas. I brought that with me. I think I did. I'm pretty sure I had him try it. And I think you can get Ballast Point stuff now in Texas, which is pretty cool.
Lose you?
Nope, I'm still here.
Oh.
All right, folks. Well, thanks for listening. This is your show. We just drinking in it and all that jazz.
Cheers.
Cheers. Jazz.
Cheers to our one viewer.
And our hundreds and hundreds of listeners.
Word.
Woo.
Check us out next week. www.beercoasterspodcast.com, iTunes, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. Instagram.
Did I say hundreds? I meant tens of thousands. Sorry.
Yeah.
Millions. China's banned us, like, from their internet.
See you next week. Next season. Cheers.
Cheers. I don't know if I want to drink spontaneous jizzy.
It's all a ruse.
Whoa! Damn!
Whew!
Holy shit!
you know, it, it,